I posted a video of a diesel pump that's been pumping essentially nonstop for a month, probably more than a month. The only time it's been shut down in the last 30 days was for a very brief period while some folks changed the oil. They had to do that. If this pump were to go down, as I said in that social media post, when I asked the two gentlemen who were taking care of that pump station, who took me out there, I said, what would be the ramifications if this pump were to stop working? And their words to me were, we would lose the village, we would lose the railroad track, we would lose Consolidated Grain and Barge's facility here. I mean, part of those silos would be underwater. And we'd lose approximately 6,000 acres of farmland. And I mean, that's devastating. And I started asking them about redundancies, you know, backup pumps. And I said, well, we were in the middle of replacing one, and we're converting it to electric, and we can't get it right now because it's in Brazil. You know, and somebody probably knows. I don't know whether it's still in the manufacturing process, whether it hasn't made it onto a barge, whether it's in transit. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but, you know, they made mention about Brazil. And, of course, part of what we've been talking about as part of a broader conversation in the General Assembly, and I'm sure in General Assemblies across the country and in the U.S. Congress, is, fair trade, free trade versus fair trade. In my opinion, you know, I think you can have free trade that is fair, but I think when we go back and look at some of the trade agreements, some of the treaties, the trade agreements and the environmental treaties that we've entered into as a nation over the last 20 to 40 years, specifically NAFTA, Kyoto, say, and the ensuing treaties and obligations that we've taken on, what we've done is we've really decimated the opportunity for the American dream. We've decimated the chances of that dramatically because we've taken away so many of our mining jobs. We've taken away so many of our manufacturing jobs. So much manufacturing is done outside of this nation, whether it's in Mexico or overseas in other emerging markets and third world nations. And, part of the plan for all of that was it was sold to us, and I never really bought into this bill of goods in the first place. That's one of the reasons why I voted for Ross Perot for president in 1992, because the Democrat and the Republican both said that they would sign NAFTA, and I didn't feel that was the right thing to do, and that's what really sparked Ross Perot's run in 1992. But what we've done is we've taken the instead of bringing other nations up to our standard of living, there's been an equalization, but the equalization has occurred by, unfortunately, bringing them up a little and bringing us down a lot. And so we've reached a state of equilibrium, but the American people deserve more than equilibrium with third world nations. They deserve the opportunity to achieve the American dream like their fathers and grandfathers had the opportunity to do. And really, that's the fair thing to do for the rest of the world, because, again, this equalized serfdom that we find ourselves in right now, really across the globe, is nobody's dream. And so that may be a little more to do with a broader conversation than just about flooding. But again, I do think it all ties together, because, as I said in that social media post, I think it comes down to not only economics and sociology, but I think it comes down to homeland security as well, because here, just look at the effects of one pump in Naples, Illinois. Multiply that by all the zip codes in the nation, all the ramifications that could occur, and I think there's something to be said for the fact, in my opinion, that a basic and vital component of homeland security is being independent when it comes to manufacturing and supplying our basic durable goods.